This meeting to order. I'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll second.
And as discussion, before we approve it, I just wanted to comment that I did receive an email from Ron Karsmar suggesting that we place the executive session fully at the end of the meeting so that people could hear the staff reports and commissioner reports. And I wrote back and said, I think when we have the opportunity to talk about meeting structure in January, that we should address that, but part of the concern remains that we're able to take action after the executive session in open session that in fact entertains the community as part of that awareness. So thank you for that email. And with that, I'll call for the question. Approving the existing agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Just a follow-up comment on what you said. I generally prefer putting the executive sessions as close to the end as we can so that people who come to the meeting can participate.
I agree with Bruce. I don't see why staff commissioner comments can't be before the executive session, but we do need at the end of the executive session the opportunity to make a decision if one is going to come out of that. So I think that makes sense.
Sometimes too, there's a scheduling issue as to why we have to have earlier.
Yeah,
if the attorney or whoever is not available or is only available at a given window of time. But
yeah, so I think we're all in agreement that we want to make as much of the meeting available to the community as possible, but also making sure that we can take the action we need to. Ron, did you have a comment?
It's not my turn yet, is it?
Well, it's public comment. We voted. We're ready to do public comment.
You know, I really would like to see more and more people come to these meetings, and I understand why maybe you don't want to have the executive meeting kind of in the middle of it towards them. But when you do an executive meeting, you know, you tell us how many minutes it's going to take and when you're going to reconvene. So why don't you just start it a little earlier and tell us, well, we're going to start at 1 o'clock, but at 1:15, we're going to get down to what the public is going to want. And then if you have lawyers or people, they know when to come, and they can go and save you money because they don't have to stay here. Just a comment.
Good input as we look ahead to refine what we're doing. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. So the consent agenda. Approval of special meeting minutes from October 24th and November 14th, and approval of warrants.
And Commissioner, so note for the record, additional warrants were added this morning, and those are, that will be line item number 3 on page 9 of your agenda packet, warrants number 32809 to 32833, totaling $126.96.31, dated November 21st of 2017.
Just looking at those, and for the benefit of people out there wondering, how did we spend $126,000 so fast? It gets too easy sometimes. We have at least $25,000 here for it looks like a gas for fuel fill up, and almost $40,000 Homeland Construction, that'd be the new office. $14,000 for a name I don't recognize, Kirchweight Brothers Concrete. I suppose that's a new office too. Gethsemane County Public Works, $5,000. Hearthstone CPA Group, $17,000. Is that right?
That's Porter Foster.
Porter Foster. Okay, that's me not reading a straight line. Thank you. Which is legal fees?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Always find it entertaining on days like this to see Blue Tarp Financial.
And what is that Blue Tarp Financial?
This is where we order most of our stuff for repairs.
Is it the name of the company, or is it a factoring company for our suppliers?
It's probably a factoring company. Yeah, because it's either Northern Tool / Blue Tire Financial. That's what they want on their checks.
Okay, yeah. I know a lot of companies factor their receivables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blue Tarp was a name I was familiar with from pre-day.
A different time,
a different place.
So are there any other questions about the new warrants?
Yeah, I move approval of the consent agenda as supplemented by the additional warrants that were issued today.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. The financial report.
Looking over the October financials, it looks like all in all, the first doing quite well considering all the curveballs we've been throwing this year. So I was pleasantly surprised to see the numbers coming in as good as they did. Obviously, property rentals are up mainly because of parking, so that's part of our property rentals and facilities. So even though our marina user charges are down because of guest mortgage, we are still up as far as actual income versus budgeted income. And if you look down at the bottom of the page, you know, our net loss is $102,000 off, which isn't too bad considering the things we've had to deal with this year. So all in all, good. One of the discussions we'd like to have after the first of the year is, I was meeting with Juanita this morning, we are still transferring $210,000 a year into our marina reserve account or whatever we want to call it. Debt service on our covered mortgage is about $80,000, and we just need to determine whether we want to continue depositing $200,000 out of operating into that account, or we want to reduce that by a factor that would just cover the covered mortgage differential. Not a discussion for today, I just wanted you all thinking about it. It certainly doesn't hurt putting the $200,000 in. It's just, I remember sometime in the summer we had talked about, we've achieved that $2 million, you know, basic cushion. Do we want to continue putting money into that account?
I think you all would. The port has long needed a policy on capital reserve. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the purpose of having the money? And then how much should it be? You know, there's a typical 6 months revenue is one thing. The bank loan may have others. But it makes sense to me to decide what you need it for and then use that as a target as opposed to the arbitrary program we have now, because it may be a marina replacement fund, but in fact you want more flexibility. You might have a capital development project come up next year. A lot of ports have different policies like that.
Yeah, we've seen a number of those at the different WPPA conferences, different policies about how they handle things. I do think that we're going to want to take a long look at that after the first of the year and think about how much do we need in actual marina reserve and how do we fund that going forward? How much do we want to have in a general reserve, and what do we want to do in terms of development? Hopefully we'll start making some decisions next year on property development.
Yes.
I think if you did a marina project, you'd probably do it in phases, and you'd probably phase it like you did the covered mortgage. You'd pass the costs on in terms of fee increases mm-hmm. over the life of the project, so that you wouldn't be, you know, your money would be better used for other things. And mm-hmm. When I looked into it, I didn't see any requirements for capital reserve external, except if you fill the bond. There's sometimes when you borrow money, you need to have a capital reserve that covers potential lost income. But from what I saw from the port, it's totally flexible. There's no external requirements. The attorney could check that out.
I do notice that this month, or at least the first time I've seen it, maybe it was here before, but we now list the long-term liability of $1 million on the general obligation bond. And is that because we've come to a period where we have to list it, or is we've drawn it?
It's been drawn.
It's been drawn, okay.
And that's, so we're at the end of that draw.
Okay.
So on advertising promotion, is the differential from last year's prepayment of boat show, is there an additional, it's 14K, last year was 3.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, is that a budget variance that you want to carry forward in the new budget? Is it boat show, or just curious what
certainly the boat show is a big part of it, mm-hmm. but also we made a concerted effort last year to advertise more. If you remember, I think we put $15,000 more in our budget for this year. So that, coupled with the boat show, is where I think is a good place to be.
Is that reflected in the budget going forward in 2018? So now you're here. Yeah. Okay. And on consulting fees, that's still the curve money waiting to come back home? Okay.
$35,000 of that's going to be coming back home. So.
On advertising promotion, Walt's question reminded me of something I've been asked, and I hope I answered it correctly. The Chamber has asked me a couple of times if the port was still going to continue the, I believe it was $2,000 a year going forward in the next year. And my answer was that I didn't think we had a specific line item for that. However, we had budgeted approximately the same for this coming year that we budgeted this year, and that was within the executive director's discretionary powers. But I thought that that was something that you were going to be certainly looking at.
Yeah, we just did the same this year as we did last year, which would cover that.
If I may note something, on the expenses, see there's 3 or 4, they're all the same, but page 3, for the commissioner's compensation, their numbers are wrong. I'm not to call them to fix that. But it's supposed to be 6,270. And the difference would be added to water, sewer, and garbage. I don't know how that got to be so weird.
All right, which one of us is water? Which one of us?
I don't know. So my numbers are fine. When I went over, I noticed the 2 differences. And
so was the on water, sewer, and garbage, which is real close to the allocated amount.
Exact difference. Yeah.
Okay.
To the penny.
So that means we're under on water, sewer, and garbage instead of basically at parity.
No,
we're over on by what, 3,200?
40,700.
Yeah. Okay.
Does parking reflect the Ventec that you were going to add to the company?
Okay.
Well, that's okay. But
yeah, 70.
Oh, so that's not in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything else, Jim or Juanita, that you think we need to be notice?
Like I said, I'm pleasantly surprised. Hopefully, November, December are going to carry on. It's amazing how much fuel we're selling in this bad weather.
As in surprising that people are using their boats, okay.
I note that on our port, 10 months, our marina user charges, our moorage base rate is about $7,300 under budget. Is that primarily covered moorage that we're not collecting, or is there some other reason why that's under budget?
The moorage base rate, most of it is moving boats out of their slips and putting them in other slips that we can't collect. It's been challenging. You know, we credited people for not being covered mortgage when they were out in the guest house.
So it wasn't just the covered mortgage premium. Yeah. It was the total premium for the mortgage that was suspended.
Oh, I'm sorry, no. If you were in covered mortgage and you were moved outside, you paid for open mortgage.
Okay, right.
But it's that delta they weren't, that $4 a foot they weren't paying. And of course, you know, the project is 7 months now, so that's a lot of jockeying.
Any other discussion on the financial report?
No, I have nothing else.
Let's see.
So is there a motion to accept the financial report as presented?
So moved.
Just a friendly amendment as presented, but as corrected by the water, sewer, and garbage.
Right. As corrected.
As corrected. I'll second.
Any more discussion?
Not here.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Action items for discussion and possible action. First, the authorization for the executive director to accept the Washington Public Ports Association board nomination as board treasurer.
So at the annual meeting last week, I was nominated to serve as on the executive committee of the WPPA's board treasurer. Eric Johnson knew full well that I couldn't obtain commission approval of that, but I told him that I was fairly confident that we could work through any issues we might have. But I do want to formalize it. It's something that I think would be great for the Port of Kingston and great for me personally, and something that will elevate us within the organization to be on the executive committee.
That's not a compensated position, is it? Just travel expenses only.
And yeah, and they pay the travel expenses. So if I have to go to Olympia, they pay for that. Mm-hmm. There are about six meetings a year. Two of them are the regular spring and winter meeting, and then four other meetings throughout the year.
So would you be using their financial system?
No, this is really a board position. It's policy. They have their own accounting firm. The accounting firm will present the financials. I would use Juanita to just go over those financials to see if there's any things that look screwy. And then I would be the one certifying them and presenting to the board. So the actual transactions, checks, and all that really we have nothing to do with. This is more an executive position.
So the port has no obligation or liability associated with those records.
So I talked with Patsy Martin, who is this year's treasurer. She's the executive director of the Port of Skagit. And Juanita and I are going to make a trip up to Skagit either next week or the week after. Just to kind of sit with their finance director and just see all the things that are needed to be done. I wouldn't have accepted it, but I was pretty intimate in knowing exactly what it entails because Larry Crockett was the treasurer in Port Townsend. So I understand what he went through and what actually the task at hand is.
Well, I do think that it's a... quite kudos to you from the WPPA. It's a recognition of your knowledge and expertise, and I think that you know we can bask in a little reflected glory on that if it's okay. Because I think it does also bring the Port of Kingston up a level in terms of visibility within the association. And between that and the fact that we're invited to do a port presentation this year for the first time ever, I think it's a recognition that even though we're not one of the mega ports, this is a significant port in the overall picture of Puget Sound and the development here.
I also like the fact that it's giving back to an organization that is, I think, valuable to all of us. And so, is there a motion to authorize the executive director to accept the nomination to the WPPA board as board treasurer?
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Done. The next is a resolution to authorizing the expenditure of funds for the 2017 Employee Appreciation Event in the amount of $1,500, not to exceed. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Discussion.
So as you're aware, last year we did this event. It was very successful, and the employees really enjoyed the camaraderie and being there and being appreciated. We thought we were really good, and of course we're in the middle of our audit, and our auditor said, well, where is the resolution? And obviously you all have to approve that. So this is really something of putting it in perspective of where we're going in the future. Is we'll have a resolution on the books that should I or a future executive director want to do this, it will be approved by the commission.
I think another way is to put it as a line item in the budget. Going forward, if we had employee, and this is a following one, but that could also be an authorization, but do whatever the auditor feels is the most appropriate way to do it is, I think is worth it. We could just budget it. Hmm.
Yeah, I think having a separate resolution gives it another aura of transparency as well, but I agree with Walt, whatever makes the state auditor's office happiest.
Were you able to determine whether or not there is a handicap access to the loft?
There is not.
Okay.
No elevator or anything
okay.
To get up there.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The next is actually a policy discussion approving incidental expenditures relating to hospitality and customer service, complimentary beverage and craft services.
That sounds very technical, but one of the things our customers really appreciate on a cold day like today when they come in the office is to get a cup of coffee. So we have the coffee pot on. Some days, I bought apple turnovers today, so some days, you know, customers can have that. I bought that with my money. The auditor again said that this needs to be codified in the policy. So we don't need a resolution on this, but I think a line item would be a good idea in the budget that is just craft beverages for our tenants.
I'm not familiar with the term craft services.
It's a term mainly used in entertainment, but it covers a wide variety of things from coffee to donuts to, you know, dog biscuits.
Right. Okay. So all of the things that are listed in there, I just haven't heard
that. Will you put an amendment to the budget for next year? So I think the only thing I've read about this was related to this promotional hosting, mm-hmm. where at least the WPPA book says you should include this as a line item. This is somewhat removed from that. But it's the closest thing I've seen.
And this is an amenity very much like, I hate to use the word toilet paper, but it's an amenity we offer people for their mortgage and their being a customer.
Sewage, water, et cetera, et cetera. Got it.
So do we need to adopt a policy?
Yeah, we'll come back to you. We wanted to have a discussion with you to see what you thought of it, then we'll adopt a policy, we will craft a policy, bring back the next meeting for you to authorize.
Okay. See, we'll get an espresso machine down there and yeah. New office.
Juanita wants one.
So you'll put that together and bring it back to us. And yep. Is your anticipation that that will show that you will break that out as a line item in the 2018?
Right. We'll amend the budget at the same time to cover that and the employee appreciation as a line item.
Great.
Like I said, the numbers are already in the budget. Juanita lists that as miscellaneous expense, but we'll just break those down into categories for you.
Okay.
Do you have a ballpark figure, order of magnitude, in terms of what this will cost a year? $1,000 a year? $500?
No, I don't think it's $1,000.
Probably $200 or $300.
Okay. That's what I just wanted, just kind of a ballpark.
Okay. Okay, so this doesn't require an action, it's just...
No.
Okay.
We'll come back to you.
So, D, the next is an amendment to the vessel listing agreement for the Kingston Express, and you were going to present an amendment to the vessel listing agreement.
This is the, in meeting with the broker, my comment to him was, what's it going to take to get rid of the red line? You know, he's talked to so many people about it. And he said, unfortunately, the price is just too high. That although the boat's in good shape, it's a slow, old boat that people just do not want to spend $400,000 or $500,000. So to answer the question of what will it take, he says he believes $299.5 will lure it off the property. So as you know, we had some parties in San Francisco interested, so we held off on this discussion. It seems like the San Francisco parties have disappeared, so I think it's time that we actively went after getting rid of this boat.
Is the San Francisco party potentially come back with a lower price, or we just don't know?
Just disappeared. Okay. He made 4 appointments with me to tour the boat and never showed for one of them.
Okay.
This part of my habit of looking in the darkest corner of the closet. If the San Francisco buyer were to come back to the surface and actually buy it, is there a potential we'd find ourselves paying 2 commissions on that?
There is. So that's why, remember, only you can approve a purchase, and we might want to consider, do we want to do that at that price? But we would end up paying at 7% per broker, so it's $21,000 a piece.
Mm-hmm. We have a formal agreement with the broker back in the Midwest. What's the status of our agreement with the broker then? Have the San Francisco contact.
There is no exclusive, and there is no, he has to bring the party to the table, and we have to approve it. So if he brought San Francisco back now, we could say we're not going to sell it to you. Unless we really just wanted to get rid of it at $250,000, basically. I mean, so we just have to, there is no exclusive rights, or there is no demand that we would have to sell it. The original offer was for $350, I believe, and that's what he would have to bring to the table in order to be eligible for his commission.
He would have to bring in an offer at $350 before we would owe him a commission.
That's what his agreement stated. One client, $350.
Okay. So if that buyer comes back in at $299.5.
Be your prerogative to say yes or no.
But, and I know I'm, you know, asking for legal advice here or legal opinion even. The degree of risk that broker number 2 will want to claim a commission anyway because it's his buyer. So I guess I'm saying that I foresee a potential risk out there. You're right, we don't have to decide that now. But that can also be perhaps a negotiating factor when and if we find ourselves in that situation.
Was broker number 1, the Midwest broker, aware of the, and we've discussed the idea of lowering the price. Was he aware of all of that discussion and the possibility that it would happen?
Yes. So I'm totally transparent. I made sure that he knew exactly what we were doing, why we didn't lower the price last month. His comment to me is he knows the San Francisco people and this isn't the right boat for them, it's too small. So it sounded like he's already exhausted that tactic, but he was fully aware of what we were doing. I told him if these people decided not to move forward, that we would revisit the reduction in price.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the fact that this is in front of us is your recommendation is that we do this despite this possible risk.
I think we need to do it, unfortunately. And I'm hoping even this will start getting some action.
Now I move we approve the amendment to the vessel listing agreement to lower the gross asking price to $299,500.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So the next item is the covered moorage roof repair project contract extension agreement. Jim?
So I think I forwarded this on to you last month. This is an email from Sea Level contractors through various unforeseen occurrences. They find themselves in a position to ask for another extension. You might remember the original contract was to have this done by the end of May. They came to the commission and asked for a 7-month extension. They would have this done by the end of November. We extended it even 2 weeks farther because of inclement weather where they couldn't work, where the winds were over 25 miles an hour and it was a safety issue. So now obviously they're asking for another extension to be mid-December. Watching this whole project go, and I want to preface this by saying the company is a great company, and I love Craig, and they're really great people to work with. I just don't think they'll be done in 30 days. Looking how long it's taken them to do one side of Sea Dock, they're at least another 2 months out. So I had a long meeting with Craig this morning. He is on vacation, coming back next week. And I asked him if we could just put this on hold and meet in person. It's so hard to do it over the phone when you're 3,000 miles away that I think this is something that he and I need to sit down and hash out. There's no gun to our head. They have until the 19th of December right now, so we've got plenty of time to discuss this. But I wanted you to be aware and have it on the record where we are, where we're going. We are starting to get quite a few complaints from our tenants, even on D&E, because the polycarbonate panels are not in. So even though they're covered, they're really not. When it's raining and the wind's blowing, they're getting pretty wet. So they're complaining that they're being charged for covered moorage and not receiving that benefit. We have already expended about $15,000 overall this year, transporting people, moving people, not collecting fees. So it's a point we need to have this discussion, but I don't know that we want to have this discussion over the phone with somebody on vacation.
I know from my perspective, I've just received the legal brief, so I need to digest that and see what that is telling us. So I'm not prepared to take my discussion forward at this point.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Walt. I think that there's no need to make a decision right now. And we just got the analysis. I took a quick look at it. I think I understand the gist of it. But there again, there's nothing that that makes me feel like we need to rush into it. If under the current agreement, they have to December 19th. I did receive a rather long phone call yesterday from a representative of the company, and as an aside, those things usually work the opposite of what I think the intent is in terms of changing my mind or getting me to make a decision. And I think there are a lot of potential ways to approach this that we haven't fully vetted yet. So I'm fully in favor of just tabling this for the time being until you have more chance to talk with Craig. Craig has essentially another month to be working on it. And adding another month between December 19th and the early or the middle of January doesn't seem to be the most opportune time to be working a project like this. So I'm not quite sure what's going to be a workable solution. But I do feel that we have extended ourselves considerably, and we've inconvenienced our tenants. Almost called them clients, but they are. And I think that's something else. And we have a public trust issue. These are public assets that we're managing. We have to do a good job of balancing that.
So your proposal is that we come back and discuss this when?
After I talk to Craig. So he'll be back the end of next week and give us an opportunity to come up with a compromise that we all can live with and then bring it to you all for your approval.
So we'll make that in a special meeting.
This is a going-in argument to attempt to recover the costs that were over and above what we anticipated for in terms of lost revenue and rent. You said 15K, but that's a ballpark.
Well, that's from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't even think of that. I think I would start negotiations from here forward. You know, obviously, we all thought it was going to be done. What are we going to do now? We're going to go into February. We need a mechanism that allows us to recoup those fees for the next 2 months anyway. It's about $5,000 a month, just so you know, and the differential. You know, in the summertime, it wasn't a big deal. Everybody was understanding, no big problems. But now that the wind is blowing and the rain's coming in, there's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's some sort of public administration issue. You know, if you are the public's incurring an extraordinary cost, and you got to think about that in terms of what you do on something like this. I really like the guy, I want to keep him in the business. But then there is a public obligation, I think.
From an engineering standpoint, is there any additional risk to the port with those panels not being in place? That wind isn't going to...
There's no structural integrity to the poly panels. They hold right over the top of the metal. The metal is giving it the structural integrity. These are just kind of skylights over the top. So, no, and you know, all the wood is treated, so even if it gets wet, it's not going to be a big issue.
And is your intention to try to negotiate this without it turning into a legal battle?
Yes. Because the last thing we want to do is create a legal battle.
So there's no action needed on the board. This is for information.
Information.
Okay. Thank you for that report, Jim. Mm-hmm. So I would like to invite any other public comment at this time. Is that a yes?
I would like to ask.
Or were you scratching your head? Rob?
I would like to ask that question. And then, since you guys have nothing to do, it sounds like you've still got the 51 things on your platter, and you're very busy. So I was wondering if there's a way that we could bring back the Heartland and the plants on the Temp Head and the Hill property. Those are huge assets, and they're not making any money. And when you're talking about $15,000 here, this, I mean, there's a lot of money that could be made on those assets. And maybe you have the plan in place to do that. I know you're busy. You really are. But then I look at the magnitudes of the investments and the incomes that we're missing here.
Is there a plan? Can we resurrect it? Or do you have time to consider that at this point in time? Or is that something we ought to talk about next year?
I'll ask one more. This is nothing against Mark because I love him dearly, but we have a new commissioner coming on board. I want to make sure that she's involved as a voting member of how we move forward the next 6 years. So, yes, I have been dragging my feet purposely until we have our new commissioner seated up here to take in what her vision is along with the other two sitting. So that's been really important to me to make sure that happens. We don't have a plan, but we have a roadmap, a direction. When I gave my presentation in Seattle, it kind of renewed in my brain the options and how those options can work together. So I think it is important right after the first of the year to make that top level.
Very much so, because I was looking at land leases and building leases at Edmonds. And when I superimpose what Edmonds did on the landing, which is a land lease, I look at this and that's a good $75,000, $80,000 a year that the port could be making just with a simple land lease, if that's the way you go. So those are big bucks compared to, you know, the problems that you've got to overcome with making sure the sewer and the garbage is right and all this little stuff. This is big.
One of the comments to the Heartland's report is even though they briefed a residential development option, they didn't include it in that report. And Jim's been working on looking at that avenue. Because for some reason they didn't include that even though they pitched it pretty hard. So we're still trying to get all the options on the table. Jim's been pursuing that.
A lot of things that Heartland didn't address. And when you have the next commissioner in place and all that, there are some things that you could start now that will take some time to do, and that's evaluating the value of the lands by themselves, evaluating different buildings, and you know, whether that's a public-private partnership, and while you're an expert on that, there are things that have to be factually obtained before I think anybody can start making rational decisions. Those you could start quicker. Yeah, I think a lot of people, after going through the Heartland, making their comments and coming to the meetings, are looking for some guidance as to where you're going to go from here. Because everybody, of course, they don't have the same idea of what's happening, but they do want something to happen, and I'd hate to see that momentum be lost.
Reed?
I know the Yacht Club is undertaking an analysis of their property, and I think there was some discussion of our participating in that cost. Did that?
It is happening.
That is happening.
It's happening right now. So we are doing some appraisals on our existing property right now. So that'll give us a guide of how much the Hill property, Toth property, or what else.
So you're doing that now, so the beginning of the year you'll have basically the facts you need.
We'll actually have it next week, I think.
Next week?
Yeah.
You have a sense of humor.
Well, we've been working on it for the last month.
Yeah. The Hill property is under lease too until April, is that right?
March,
okay. So we're contractually bound on that for the next 4 months.
Whatever you do is going to take a long time to
get right.
If you're building something, so it's, you know, and I don't need to remind anybody that it was 2002 since the last board of commissioners or several before tore down Dickerson's. That was 15 years ago. So if I take $75,000 a year times 15, that's $1 million you've lost. Just a point of reference.
I should also say that I think the whole conversation about public-private partnership, which is something I've been very involved with over the last 30 years, we're doing some internal discussion about what that actually looks like and starting to bring those pieces to the table as well. And so I think we'll have a robust discussion in early 2018. Any other public comment? Okay. So with that, we'll recess to an executive session. Jim, how long do you assess that will take?